The following episode of Hot Grease has been brought to you by Kane 5. Kane Vineyard and Winery supports the Heritage Radio Network and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.kane5.com.
Let me tell you about the chicken grease. Stuff and things to make the people
on Hot Grease. We bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today we'll be talking our Jolly Holiday Series. The holiday season is officially here. For the next month, Hot Grease will bring a unique series titled Green Living, Green Giving, and Great Food. Experts will be providing us with tips and commentaries and ideas. First up, some suggestions from me on green giving. I really think that generous people make the world go around. So I have some suggestions. First on my list, if you're looking for organizations or people to give your time or money to, is Housing Works. Housing Works provides health care and housing for people living with HIV and AIDS in New York City. Most New Yorkers love Housing Works because of their thrift stores that are all over the city. I think they have probably maybe half dozen thrift stores, but my favorite in the Housing Works empire is the bookstore and cafe, which is in Soho, a neighborhood in Lower Manhattan. And what's so great about the cafe is that they have organic food and they try to source locally. And most of the volunteers that run the cafe, most of the people who run the cafe are volunteers, as well as the bookstore that's inside. They're mostly volunteers. And all the proceeds go to Housing Works to help people who are living and fighting with HIV/AIDS. What's also great about Housing Works, the bookstore that's in Soho, is that they have this vast cookbook cooking section, and they're always having a sale, 30% off on their cookbooks. So if you're looking to give at the holidays, I would say do two things. Go to Housing Works, make purchases. And second, you can become a member of Housing Works, and you can give money, and you get all these great perks at the cafe and the bookstore as well as the thrift store. My second green giving suggestion would be the Brooklyn Food Coalition. I'm throwing this organization in the mix for several reasons. Number one, I work for this organization doing outreach. And my other reason is I think that the Brooklyn Food Coalition is a very rare organization that operates from the ground up. And their mission was to change the food system neighborhood by neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York. So another great organization to give your time or money to at the holidays. Another suggestion for green giving. I would say any credible organization helping to rebuild Haiti. We're approaching the one-year anniversary of the earthquake in Haiti. If you've been watching the news this weekend, you know that the elections took place in Haiti. People are still not talking every day about what's going on in Haiti, but there's still tons of devastation in Haiti. So if you find an organization that is dear to your heart, be it large or small, that's doing something to rebuild Haiti, I would say give money or give your time. Take a trip to Haiti. Another green giving idea is La Cocina. It's a food incubator space in San Francisco. They support small businesses, primarily women in the San Francisco area who are looking for space to produce food products. They have a huge operation there. They're great about supporting small business owners. Eat Slow Jams. She makes jam in San Francisco. I think I've talked about her, Shakira Somali, on the show before. She's one of the folks that participates in La Casina. And here at Hot Grease, we're all about supporting small businesses and organizations that particularly are providing support to them. I would say support them. So La Casina is another organization. I have another shameless plug, Heritage Radio Network. I think if you want to give green this holiday season and you feel generous, think about all the great information that we have given you and provided over the last year and a half on Heritage Radio Network. We have tons of programs, including Hot Grease to Cheese to Snacky Tunes. So if you're feeling generous and you want to support a movement and an organization that's providing great content, I would say go to heritageradionetwork.com, and you'll see we have a section on our website now if you want to give. And lastly, I say let's think hard about family and friends that need an extra boost. And I would suggest a few things. For friends who've been laid off or family members who are just down on their luck, I would say cook them a great meal and deliver it to them. Don't cook them a great meal and then invite them over, but like cook it up, pack it up, and deliver it to them and leave. Leftovers in the refrigerator and a great meal is a great present or great gift to anyone. And the other thing is shop at your local farmer's market. Get double of what you're usually getting at your farmer's market, or take a trip to the farmer's market for the first time. Load up a big, huge basket and put a big bow on it and give it to someone who may just had a pay cut or something at their job and give them food. Everyone loves food. So those are my tips for green giving, kicking off our Green Giving, Green Living, and Great Food series. We are going to take a short break on Hot Grease, and we're going to come back with Liz Neves.
We're continuing our December series on green living, green giving, and great food. We're chatting with Liz Neves, a healthy home consultant. Liz is passionate about helping people live in a healthier, just, and sound world. Liz, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi, Nicole.
Liz, you truly live green. If I'm not mistaken, you freeze your compost and drop it off at Grow NYC Green Market.
I do that, but actually, I used to bring it to Union Square. I would, from Brooklyn, I would go in, once every couple of weeks with bags and bags of frozen compost. But now I belong to a community garden in my neighborhood, and there's a compost facility there that I help volunteer and turn the compost there. So I bring it there, and I also have worms at home, and I feed them some of my food scraps.
Wait a minute, worms in what? What do you keep them in? I've seen you before doing your worm demo, but I'm trying to figure this out. Is it a bucket or what?
No, it's those utility totes. They're kind of like you get them at Home Depot or Lowe's,
yeah,
or hardware store. It's that, but it has holes drilled in the side so that they can get some air in there.
So I definitely feel very guilty about not composting. What do you say to a person like me? I feel like my apartment is small. I'm not at home enough to pay attention to composting. Or am I just coming up with excuses or what?
It's easy to not do it. When I became aware of the impact that composting has, the positive impact it has, I I started thinking, God, I got to do this. I have to stop throwing away all this organic material because it's valuable. It's a valuable resource. I wouldn't say you should feel guilty because you can start anytime. That's the beauty
Start anytime. Speaking of starting and finishing, we just finished the Green 2010. I'm about to screw this up.
The Green Books campaign.
Yeah. What was your book?
My book was... let me think if I can remember the title. Living with Nature. It was a survival skills guide. And, you know, it wasn't my first choice, but I'm glad. I'm really happy that I got that book.
Well, for our listeners who did not listen to my previous podcast about this campaign, could you just briefly tell them what this campaign was all about?
So the campaign is 200 bloggers, mostly green bloggers, but not necessarily.
Because I'm not a green blogger.
No, but your food. So I don't know. It's kind of somehow related. It's run by Eco Libris, which is a green publishing. I think they're a publishing company, or at least they help mitigate sort of the. They support recycled paper and, you know, sustainable inks and things like that. So it's 200 bloggers who post all on the same day different books that are either printed responsibly or are, you know, the subject is something about ecology.
So your book, Survival Skills in Nature or whatever, was it a green focus or was it about just kind of if you get lost in the wilderness, what to do? Or
no, it's more preparedness and kind of approaching it from a hobby perspective in a way, like, you know, someone who enjoys the outdoors and living with nature, literally, you know, going out, building your shelter from available materials and, you know, catching your own fish and finding wild edible foods. You know, these are all things that I'm really interested in. And just kind of, you know, the awareness that we are part of nature. And even in the city, you know, we're part of nature, but we don't always realize it.
Totally. Speaking of the city and what's around us, I have this question I have to ask because I really don't know what it is. I know you finished your permaculture certificate like, what, 2 years ago, a year ago? What? I hear it. People use the word all the time. I'm like, okay, here are these new 2010 words for something that we've probably been doing the past 100 years. What is permaculture?
In a way, you're right. Permaculture, the word itself, literally is the fusion of permanent and originally permanent agriculture.
Uh-huh.
So how can we sustainably produce food to sustain people comfortably? Now, there are three basic principles of permaculture, or three core ethics. And it's care for people, care for the earth, and redistribution of surplus. Or this is a fun way of saying it.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Earth care, people care, fair share.
Okay, so this is a very broad term then. It can mean so many different things.
It does, but it can apply to a lot of things. It can apply to, you know, farming, which is what the original application was, but the new kind of take on it is permanent culture. And how can we maintain a comfortable lifestyle that at the very core is caring for people, caring for the earth, and also making sure that everything is evenly distributed.
And with the evenly distributed, does that mean food or is that beyond food?
It's
resources.
All resources.
Speaking of resources, you have started, or at least thinking about starting to participate in this campaign, the No Clothes Challenge.
Oh, so okay. There's this group called the Brooklyn Green Team, and they put out these challenges every few months. And they're 3-month-long challenges. This one is called the No New Clothing Challenge. So this is kind of the way I live anyway. I don't really buy new clothing, you know, except for the unmentionables. everything I buy for the most part is either made with, you know, organically grown fabric or, you know, wool, or it's used. And for the most part, I buy used clothing. So it's the challenge.
So this is easy for you.
Yeah, the challenge is to not buy any brand new clothing.
So if folks in Brooklyn or people, you know, we have people that listen on the West Coast, people, not so many people in the middle, but definitely the East Coast. Are there any other organizations they can check out? Or can they participate in the No Clothes?
Sure, anyone can participate, I think. I don't think it's
so limited. Is there a blogging community? Are they talking via social media about, oh, I have an urge to buy a new sweater? What? Are folks talking, the group of people who've signed up for the challenge?
Yes.
Are they having conversations?
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. You know, I haven't seen that, but I would guess that there should be some kind of like support group in a way, you know, like I'm starting to feel an itch for something new. I'm bored with my clothing. What can I do? But, that's a good suggestion.
All right, Liz, we are going to take a short break and come back with more.
Saw you, I already knew there was something inside of you, something I thought that I would never find. Angel of mine.
The holidays are here. The days are filled with preparing for overnight guests, doing dishes, and maybe organizing. Before you drink your hot cocoa, we have the Hot Five.
I'm hot.
The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. Miss Neves.
Yes.
We also can find you at ragnella.com. Is going to give us the super simple, five super simple things or ways to make your home healthy. Number five on your list.
Wow. So it's a countdown from the okay. So
well, we
five.
Just start at five. It doesn't mean one is the,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So five, I'd say take off your shoes before you come inside.
Oh, wow.
It's simple. So simple, right?
So how does that... I don't do that. Well, I do that, but when I have guests over, I feel awkward asking folks to do that.
You know, if it's once in a while, it's okay. But, you know, for the most part, we think about, you know, where we're walking around all day, what we're stepping in, you know, the chemicals and the whatever other natural materials that are outside that you might not want on your shoes and then on your, you know, living room carpet. It's wise to take them off.
So number five on Liz's list of super simple things to make your home healthy and to start living green is take your shoes off. Number four on your list.
Bring plants into your home.
Plants. Number mm-hmm. four, bring plants. So what do you say to the person that's killing plants?
There are some super, super simple plants to take care of. One of my favorites is a snake plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's also known as mother-in-law's tongue, which is not the nicest of name, I guess.
What does it look like?
It looks like the leaves grow directly out of the soil, and it's sort of very pointy and long and green, darker green in the center with a lighter green kind of stripe up the sides. It does look kind of like a snake or some sort of graphic tongue like object. It can tolerate darkness, it can tolerate drought. It's really kind of one of those plants that's hard to kill. And then there's another plant just like this called devil's ivy or pothos, which is more of a vine like plant, mm-hmm. and it has a heart shaped leaves that are usually a lightish green color with some very variegation in them.
So it needs little water and little sunlight?
Very little water and very little sun. I think, you know, it'd be hard actually to kill these plants.
Okay, so that's good to know. I'm not great with plants. I can do the first.
Take off your shoes.
I can take the, yeah. And number two, I can possibly do that. I'll make sure I write those down, those two plants.
But plants are just amazing filters of chemicals and just, you know, providing fresh oxygen in the home.
Okay. So number two on Liz's list, super simple things to do. And I have to say this before we get in number two. That's not number two. I do that all the time.
Yeah, it's number four.
No, it's actually number three.
Oh, so we're moving on to number three.
Yeah, yeah. It's number three. I have to say this. These tips, Liz, she's given us tips, but you actually are a consultant. You can come to someone's home and give them a comprehensive, I guess, assessment of things mm-hmm. that they should be doing mm-hmm. or could be doing.
Yep. That's what I do. I help people create healthier home environments by replacing toxic or poisonous products with cleaner, natural, more natural products that are not going to damage the air quality and not going to damage your health or the environment.
So if you're thinking about a gift for a friend that you're like, oh, they have everything, what can I give them? This is a perfect thing. Don't you agree, Liz?
Oh, yeah.
So number three on the list.
Number three is swap out your cleaning products.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, you know, ditch the chlorine bleach and the artificially scented whatever, furniture cleaner, whatever, you know, whatever products that come in a can or, you know, store-bought stuff for really, really simple, very effective and inexpensive things like, you know, everyone knows about them, but they don't always use them. Vinegar, white vinegar, baking soda.
Should I make, so if I switch out all of my cleaning products, and I think I'm doing myself a service by spending all this money on like Seventh Generation and some of the other top brand things. If I want to get rid of all of them, should I just take one afternoon and make up a few different cleaning alternatives or products and then put them in my own bottles? What is your suggestion?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, those products, you know, most of the green products are good, you know, I wouldn't say,
but they're expensive.
They're expensive, and actually some of them do still have artificial scent in them. There are a couple brands that I don't like because I think they're not entirely honest, or at least people have the perception that they're really green. But I'd say the safest way to go is to make your own, and it's super simple. I mean, some of them just require putting water and vinegar in a spray can and shaking it up, like,
and that would be all purpose. If someone just wanted to start with switching out all purpose,
yeah,
the vinegar and water is step number one.
Sure,
just a water bottle.
Yeah,
bam, number three. So number two on the, we're gonna call it the KISS, keep it super simple, make your home healthy list.
Yes.
What do we have number two?
Your beauty products. Switch out your beauty products.
Oh, gosh. This. What do you mean?
This is tough. I know for a lot of women, especially.
It's hard to find makeup that's eco-friendly. That's what you mean by beauty products?
Well, no. I mean anything that makes you feel good. Lotion, shampoo, soap. I make my own now. Beautiful, beautiful products. And it doesn't take much effort. It's like you said, an afternoon, and you make a big batch of it. And
what should I start with, or someone that's listening? What's the easiest product to start with to make?
A facial cleanser that you can just grind up, you know, either seeds or beans, which is exfoliating, and then you can mix in an herb like sage or rosemary or lavender. And just mix those together. You just put them mm-hmm. in a, you know, seed grinder or mortar and pestle. And then just keep them in a jar by the sink. And it's a great facial scrub, facial wash.
Well, so what about Jack and Nat and the deodorant thing? The guys. What are they?
So for guys, I mean.
Yeah, because are they going to stop using deodorant?
No. I just put baking soda. I just use baking soda.
Okay, so are you making a note, Jack, Nat? Baking soda.
Or you can make up a batch of either alcohol or witch hazel mixed with some essential oils. That's a nice effect.
I like that one with yeah. the essential oils.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Essential oils are very powerful. I mean, a little bit goes a long way.
Okay.
Yeah.
And number one on the super simple things to make your home or your life, this is beyond the home, make your life green/healthy.
I'd say composting. Because it has a huge impact. You're able to produce beautiful soil amendment for growing food in the city. You know, if you live in the city, you're not trucking off tons and tons of organic waste to the landfill where it's going to off-gas methane into the environment. Mm-hmm. And also consider the trucks that are taking it away. And in New York City, our trash goes to like 8 other states all up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And they're landfilling all of our waste. So, you know, and it said that up to 50% of our waste is compostable. So to think that you can split that in half and have a huge, huge impact.
Composting. That's on my goal for, on my list.
And your garbage won't stink.
Yes. I just need to find, and I know I see some of the Crate and Barrels of the world are even making composting bins. I just need to really focus and meditate on how to make this composting work and stop coming up with excuses. And I'm sure if I'm saying that, there are a ton of other listeners who, you know, are doing all great things in their life, but they're not composting. So number one on the list, composting. Liz. Yes. So if folks want to stay connected to you, you do a lot of social media, tweeting all about Living Green. You definitely have built a great brand around that. How can folks find you?
On Twitter, I'm Raganella7, and that's R-A-G-A-N-E-L-L-A. It means tree frog in Italian.
Ah, and okay, very good. And your blog / website is?
Raganella.com.
Thank you so much, Liz, for joining us on Hot Grease.
Thank you, Nicole.
Listeners, thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. Remember, it's Eastern Time on Heritage Radio Network. Or feel free to subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. Until then, always take the road less traveled. Sometimes I'm right.